The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decisions.
Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network, helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth. Now, here's your host, financial advisor and CEO of Cordasco Financial Network, Steve Cordasco.
And welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth show. I'm Steve Cordasco. We're going to talk about the CARES Act, and specifically, we're going to direct the conversation to you, the business owner, and what business owners can do to keep your small, medium-sized business going during this difficult time of a pandemic that has stricken the globe, as well as an economic crisis that is being coupled to this health crisis that we're dealing with in our country. Joining me to navigate what business owners can do with regards to the CARES Act and other programs that the government has put in place to help business owners. Joining me to talk about it is a good friend of mine, Michael Gillen. He's a CPA and director of the Tax Accounting Group. They call it the tag team at Duane Morris. Yes, Duane Morris is a legal firm, but Mike has for almost 30 years navigated one of the city's premier and now becoming a national premier accounting group within a legal firm. And so, Mike, welcome back to the Your Life, Your Wealth show.
Steve, my pleasure. It's great to be with you, especially during today's challenging times.
Boy, Mike, I tell you, you as a CPA and doing tax returns and helping a lot of business owners, would you have ever a thought when the tax deadline gets pushed back, you actually would be dreading it?
It's so ironic. I've been doing this for 35 years. And this season, tax season, as we affectionately call it, is nothing like any of the other 34 seasons I've experienced. It's simply amazing, but quite frankly, I'm thrilled that Congress, Treasury, and the IRS have stepped up.
Yeah, I think a lot of business owners are feeling a little bit of relief, some a little bit more than what they thought would be the consequences a few weeks back, when many were not even able to go to bed at night without the thought on their mind that they would lose their business. So there's hope, right? So let's talk about the CARES Act. And by the way, we put up on our website, Cordasco Cares, if anybody wants to go and look at what we put up there to help your business navigate it, go to cfnplan.com and you'll see a link to Cordasco Cares. Mike, I know your firm there at the Tax Accounting Group within Duane Morris, you care too. So let's jump into this. There's some confusion out there for business owners of what they might be able to do with regards to some of the $2.2 trillion that was in the CARES Act. And there is some confusion because there was a first wave where you could go through SBA. I think Mark Cuban sent a tweet out, maybe a little bit too early, telling everybody to go on the SBA website and start to apply to get a 3.75 loan that would help your business. And then it seems like wave two came out as Congress created a bill and the president signed it in that would give business owners some relief. Both go through the SBA, but can you talk a little bit about those two different approaches, that first wave, which was long-term loans, and then this kind of next wave that came out more recently, where business owners are hearing about forgivable loans?
Yes, Steve, you are absolutely correct. There's a lot of various tax relief provisions buried within these three phases. The current phase being three, known as the CARES Act, as you mentioned, which stands for the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act. And the combination of these phases, and by the way, I think there'll be at least one other phase, phase four, and maybe phase five. I think these phases are important. But with respect to the phases we currently have, the legislation, CARES Act, included meaningful tax provisions and small business loan provisions intended to provide that economic stimulus small businesses and individuals need. And I like to parse these as two different relief provisions. One is Small Business Administration and forgivable loans. Two is tax relief. talk about the Small Business Administration Forgivable Loans first. As you mentioned, Steve, these are powerful small business loan features that will be critical in helping businesses stay afloat, helping workers stay working, and the small business owners paying these workers to keep the doors open. In particular, there's one program that is known as the Paycheck Protection Program. And that essentially expands the Small Business Administration loan program. And in short, what that does is this. Small businesses, I'll define what that means, now can borrow up to $10 million, primarily for payroll cost, interest on certain mortgages, rent, utility payments. And if they keep all their workers employed, that loan is forgivable and no requirement to pay it back, which is huge. So think about it. You have a cash flow dilemma right now because of C-19, as I call it, trying to keep the doors open. You can keep the doors open with a Small Business Administration loan that you never have to pay back. The government stepped up. In particular, Steve, the amount of that loan forgiveness includes, as I mentioned, certain costs, payroll costs, mortgages, rent, utilities, and the payroll costs are capped at $100,000. If I can secure a loan of up to $10 million, I'm capped at $100,000. I can take care of up to 100 people. If my payroll costs are less, I can take care of more people. The eligible entities are businesses that employ less than 500 employees. And there's exceptions. So for businesses, for example, that are in the food service business, the 500 employee rule is applied to each physical location. So it's not just small businesses as you and I historically have known. And it also extends to, has never done this before, individuals who operate sole proprietorships and independent contractors. So not only small businesses that have other workers, but sole proprietors and independent contractors that don't have workers. Now, we feel that the demand for these forgivable low interest loans, meaning they're either low interest and or forgivable, are expected to be high. Small businesses, including nonprofits, including sole proprietorships, can apply for and receive favorable loans to cover payroll and other expenses through existing SBA lenders. That means through their banks. Starting on April 10th, independent contractors and self-employed individuals can apply for and receive these favorable loans to cover their payroll and other expenses, again, through their lenders. It's a wonderful benefit that the government has really stepped up to help keep our small businesses in business.
So what does somebody do if they're a sole proprietor, right? They don't have any employees. Maybe work out of the house. They do home repairs, let's say. One man show. No employee payroll, right? So there's four components of this. You take 2.5 months of payroll, 2.5 months of utilities, 2.5 months of rent, and 2.5 months of insurance. So you take those four variables that they're telling you do the calculation on. What does someone do if they lost their own personal wages, right? They're a sole proprietor, but they don't necessarily have a big utility cost. They're working out of their house, so technically they don't have rent that they pay with a business sign on it. They have some insurance costs, I'm sure, but yet that's not even coming anywhere close to maybe they're in the seashore community and this is the busy season when they get everybody's houses ready and do a lot of work that needs to be done, and here that income is gone. How do they participate in this type of program?
Similarly, but at a less volume of loan. Payroll cost, the wages and health insurance are a meaningful cost of every small business. So that likely would be the lion's share of this loan. If a small business doesn't have any workers, it's the plumber, it's the electrician, it doesn't have workers, they still have the other expenses that they may need help floating. And that's when the small business expense, those four categories you just mentioned, Steve, that may be helpful to these sole proprietors or independent contractors.
Somebody is going to be out maybe $25,000 from their income standpoint. They could borrow saying, hey, that's my payroll. I mean, that's what I pay myself. So therefore, I'm going to get this forgivable loan and to help offset my lost income.
Absolutely correct. For example, S corporations, you can have a plumber or electrician that is a one person show. They're an S corporation. They actually pay themselves wages. They have retirement benefits that they contribute to. They do have lost wages. So an S corp that has a sole shareholder as the sole employee would have these types of wages that they can borrow through the SBA.
Now we're hearing that loans are now at 2-year loans and with a 0.5% interest. Is that for any loan that does not have the ability to be paid back within the 2-year period? Or is that for a loan that doesn't meet all the qualifications to be forgiven? Meaning you have to keep people on payroll for it to be forgiven. Right. If somebody says, hey, I just can't keep people on payroll, or I kept one person off out of 10, and therefore a piece of that then gets lost as being forgiven, it's not forgiven and you owe the money back with interest, correct?
Correct. You have two scenarios. One, favorable terms, low interest rate, longer term periods, delayed payback periods. At a worst case scenario, those favorable terms are yours and could keep you afloat for a long, long time and help our communities and keep people employed and families maintained. At a best case scenario, you do not reduce your payroll. You keep all your workers employed. You lay off no one. At the end of the day, you don't have to pay back that loan. What's better than favorable interest rates and favorable payment terms? Forgivable loans. So both of these are really strong. So let's say best case scenario, I try to keep these workers afloat for 2 months and I just can't. I need to lay off half of my team. Mm-hmm. I have every favorable terms that low interest rate, deferred and so forth and so on that you mentioned. Let's say keep these people employed for a period of time, I don't have to pay it back. Separate from the small business loan feature, which should be analyzed, I'm not suggesting to your listeners, Steve, and I know they're very smart people, robust businesses. They may have tax lawyers and CPAs that assist them. This small business loan may not be for everyone, but there's other tax relief provisions that you may wish to consider.
Yeah, let's jump on that. What are some of the other tax relief provisions that people don't have to go through an SBA for?
So I'll give you an example. There's two provisions in particular that you cannot take advantage of if you take advantage of the Small Business Administration loan. That is known as the payroll tax holiday, and the second is known as the employee retention credit. So payroll taxes, self-employment taxes, are often the two of the biggest tax burdens small businesses have. And the Treasury now provides cash flow relief to these small businesses. For example, under the payroll tax holiday, a portion of the employer's payroll taxes can be deferred for employers of all sizes. Payroll tax that is attributable to the Social Security piece, 6.2% of wages, can be deferred. That is, Uncle Sam is saying for everyone that an employer is required to match the 6.2 Social Security percent tax in tax year 2020, where we are now, you don't have to pay us right now, and you don't have to pay us next quarter. You could pay 50% next year by December 31st, 21, and the balance of the 50% by December 31st of 2022. That's huge. That's a 6.2% savings, essentially over a 2-year period, a deferral.
But it's just deferred. It's not a savings. It's kicking it down the road, correct?
Correct. It's a cash preservation provision.
Gotcha. For cash flow. It helps your cash flow today. But again, if you could give clarity, if a business owner goes through the SBA to try to get a forgivable loan, they are then waiving the ability to do a payroll tax deferral, correct?
Correct. And as you're implying, a forgivable loan is always better than a delayed tax payment.
Well, it gets interesting too, because they only allow the forgivable loan calculation to go up to an employee's pay to $100,000. So if somebody has maybe a controller that's making $200,000 or a salesperson that makes a couple $100,000 because they hustle, they're successful, you're getting a loan only up to $100,000. And I don't mean only. I know for some people listening, you're like, what do you mean only, Cardasco? Well, I mean only because if somebody's making $200,000 or $300,000, you could be not getting half to three quarters of what you're actually paying that person in a loan. You're getting up to $100,000, correct?
Absolutely correct.
But that's where the 6.2 punting it down the road might be, you know, you got to kind of do some math a little bit here, right?
Absolutely correct. And keep in mind, the 100,000 cap that you just mentioned, Steve, we feel that demand for the forgivable low interest loans is expected and will be high. And that may mean not everyone will get it.
Well, I'm also hearing from a lot of business owners who feel as if, you know what? My business seems to not have slipped that much. I had a couple business owners tell me this recently, and therefore they don't even want the loan. And then you have others who I talked to, and their business stayed pretty resilient through this, but they're taking loans because they view their competition would be taking it and have a more capital advantage over them. I mean, as perverse as it might sound, business owners are thinking that way.
Yeah, I'm hearing the same thing, and you're absolutely correct. That's why there's, as you said, you got to crunch the numbers. You really got to compare. And the other side of the tax relief provision is known as the employee retention credit. So think about it. Right now, we talked about three options: small business, low interest, or forgivable loan, the payroll tax holiday, kicking the tax down the road, as you mentioned, and third, an employee retention credit. This is a tax credit that's available to all employers, regardless of size, not limited by the 500 employees as the SBA program has, and it includes tax-exempt organizations, and it's similar to the payroll tax holiday that's available to all small businesses regardless of size. But what this does, this new employee retention credit provision of CARES allows eligible employers, and I can define that, a refundable, not just kicking it down the road like the payroll holiday, but a refundable payroll tax credit for 50% of the qualified wages paid to employees from March 13, 2020 through December 31st, 2020. And this credit is provided for the first $10,000 of compensation, including health benefits, paid to these eligible workers. So what does that mean? This is a credit. This is a dollar-for-dollar tax reduction. So an employee retention credit cannot be used for the Small Business Administration loan, but the employee retention credit, separate or combined with the payroll tax holiday, may be just as lucrative.
Well, explain it though. Let's go through this. So let's say somebody has 10 employees and $1 million payroll. Walk through how that works, a payroll retention credit.
Okay. So there's two scenarios of size of employers. So an employer with more than 100 full-time employees during 2019, so it's a look back of 1 year, is an eligible employer if its operations were fully or partially suspended as a result of COVID-19 related shutdown. In that instance, qualified wages are those paid when employee services are not provided. So I have to suspend my business operations fully or partially. John and Jill are not working for me for up to 30 days. I can continue to pay them because I want them to be on my staff for the foreseeable future, and I don't want their families to suffer. Uncle Sam gives you a 50% tax credit for the first $10,000 of compensation. Now, let me give you the second scenario. That's for more than 100 full-time employees. What happens to those employers with 100 or fewer full-time employees? It's even more broad. You look back as 2019, and in this case, it's not if you were fully or partially suspended your businesses. It's if gross receipts declined. Think about the pizza parlor. Think about the hair salon that maybe they didn't shut down, suspend all activities, but they worked part-time or with less people or delivery services only. If their gross receipts declined by more than 40% this quarter compared to the same quarter last year, they qualify for this 50% credit. And it's so it's broader. The business does not have to be closed or partially closed.
If they go through and they're getting an SBA loan, does that null and void this?
Yes. So okay. You got to compare and contrast. You have to look at the SBA loan, look at your payroll expenses, multiply by 2.5%, look at your utilities, look at your rent, look at your mortgage, do the math, compare it to the employee retention credit, compare it to the payroll tax holiday, determine what is in your best interest.
Got it.
We've been doing for our small business clients, those less than 500 workers. So all these three programs we're talking about are available. We've created models, literally plug and play models, whereby the clients give us, and I suspect their tax lawyers and tax CPAs could do the same, that you sit down with the small business owner, you review the numbers, you plug and play it in your model, and you determine which one has the greatest advantages from an economic viewpoint, which one is the quickest from a cash flow preservation viewpoint, and that's the decision you make.
Got it. Well, boy, really informative. We spent a lot of time on it. Probably could talk even more about it, but I think this is a good amount for those listening that are business owners to digest at the moment and really kind of use this as a springboard to give yourself a little bit of empowerment and knowledge to whatever professionals you might be working with regards to your own accounting, financial planning, or business strategy. Whatever your team of trusted advisors, whoever they are, you know, hopefully you can use what Mike Gillen and I have been talking about. Mike, anything you want to end with that people should know, being a business owner and what their business can do now?
Two quick comments. There's other provisions that may help your small business listener. So they should investigate with their advisors the expanded use of net operating loss, the increased deduction for business interest expense. There's technical amendments that help with accelerating depreciation under the CARES Act, in addition to the three or four items we spoke about. Number four, cash flow management right now is key. Sit down with your advisors, talk about these different provisions we just mentioned. I believe preservation of cash is critical. Identify, implement cash flow management strategies, including take advantage of some of the extended tax filing and payment deadlines. Taxes are typically due April 15th. The federal government has extended the filing date and payment date until July. Take advantage of that. Preserve cash.
Yep, good advice. And you know, again, we are in this together. And Mike Gillen, thanks so much for all the great information you were able to share with our listeners, our business owners. By the way, if I could plug a bank, when somebody goes above and beyond the call of duty, I just need to say it. And Republic Bank out of Philadelphia and a local bank in the region here, the whole group formerly was with Commerce Bank and sort of an extension off of all the talented people who were at Commerce Bank, if you remember them way back when. But boy, I tell you, that SBA group at Republic Bank, I've had people call me and say that Don was on the phone with them or Leanna was on the phone until 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night talking to business owners and helping them navigate this SBA process. So I just got to say, man, I've talked to a lot of banks and they have been beyond most. So hats off to them. Good local bank who seems to be doing the local business owner right. So normally I don't like to make a plug, but boy, I got to do it when somebody goes above and beyond the call of duty. And I'm sure you're finding those same types of businesses out there, maybe. But I know there's been a debacle with this SBA process and the terms and who can get in and people not returning calls at some of the banks that have SBAs. But boy, it's refreshing to find good, hard workers who are willing to put in the time well into the late evening to be able to guide business owners in this very scary time.
So true. And Steve, I believe there's going to be a lot of new business and lost business when this unprecedented challenge that we're dealing with, once this is over, and it will be over, and we'll be better and stronger than ever before, but once it's over, there's going to be a lot of banks that gain business, like Republic, as you just mentioned, a phenomenal bank, and there's going to be a lot of banks that lose business because of the lack of support and assistance.
Yep. And that's what happens. When we go through pain points in our country and go back in history, we always seem to come out stronger and better for it. And it might be hard to be seeing right now, but let's stay positive. And it's my belief system. So, you know, I've had different times of different crises that we've had in our country. And I, you know, sometimes I'm not as optimistic, but I'm optimistic on this. I know we're coming out of this in a better way. So let's all keep our chins up. Let's keep the fight going and let's stay together as partnerships with each other. So if I can help in any way, any of you who are business owners, that you're scared, you're wondering what's next, you need some guidance, you can go to my site, CFN Plan, as in Cardasco Financial Network Plan.com. You'll see something up there called Cardasco Cares, and you can tag on that and be able to read from it. Mike, I don't mean to steal your line, the tax advisory group tag over at Dwayne Morris. How can people reach out to you?
They can reach out to taxaccountinggroup.com, where they can feel free to reach out to me, and my team will be thrilled to assist anyone who has mentioned your name, Steve, at magillen@dwaynemorris.com. M-A-G-I-L-L-E-N as in Nancy, at Dwayne Morris, DuaneMorris.com.
All right. Thanks so much, Mike. I really appreciate it. People don't know you and I are neighbors. I'll see you in the neighborhood. Hopefully I can't wait when I get to sit there and actually talk to you, and we don't have to stay 6 feet apart.
Great will be when this is over, my friend.
All right. Thanks. Take care. Hang in there. And thanks for all the good work you're doing. I'm Steve Cardasco. Thanks for listening.
If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discussed to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cardasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com or call our office at 215-558-3500. We hope you'll join us again next time on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network.